Stephen Lang, award-winning stage and film actor, writer, and producer, and star of His Dark Land, will receive the 2018 Empire State Archives and History Award from the New York State Archives Partnership Trust tomorrow night. The public is invited to hear Lang speak about his career as an actor and history enthusiast, interviewed by friend and prominent Lincoln scholar Harold Holzer. The event is tomorrow, October 25th at 7 o'clock at Chancellor's Hall in the State Education Building, located at 89 Washington Avenue in Albany. Joining us this morning, we welcome the honoree himself. Stephen Lang is here. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Great honor to have you on the program this morning. Mike Moyne joins us of the Capital Cinema Cultural Exchange. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Joe.
And New York State Archivist Tom Ruller is here as well. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Joe. Happy to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. Let us begin with you, Tom, of how this that you've been doing this for a while. So give us a sense of the mission and the reason for doing this honor.
We have been doing this award for a while. We started in 2005. Brian Lamb was the first recipient of the Empire State Archives and History Award. This award recognizes an individual, an author, a scholar, a researcher, an actor, who's really helped interpret and bring history to life and helps improve our awareness of and access to the great stories of American history. At the State Archives, we preserve 26 miles of New York State's official government records, and those records are full of the truth about the world as we've come to know it. But it takes people like Stephen Lang to take those stories and bring those truths to the stage and bring it out for people to understand and access. Stephen is an incomparable actor and a wonderful researcher and a great friend of history and of the State Archives, and we are very fortunate to have the opportunity to award him the Empire State Archives and History Award this year.
So what does that feel like for you, sir?
Well, it's humbling and thrilling for me. I've been privileged to go to Chancellor's Hall on a number of occasions to see great historians being honored and to be given the same award that Robert Caro has been given is humbling, to say the least. I'm not sure if I deserve it, but then again, I have arthritis, and I know I don't deserve that, so I'd rather get something good that I don't deserve than something bad, you know? But I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be part of them, a great supporter of the archives, and Tom is correct in saying that I certainly have a love for history and trying to portray it, trying to bring it to life.
So I'd like to talk about that in just a moment. Let me bring Mike in quick, though, as far as your participation in this and how your organization fits in.
Well, thanks to the Archives Partnership Trust, Joe, we've been invited to meet with Stephen tomorrow afternoon while he's presenting a film, Beyond Glory, over at the Veterans Administration building. We'll have an hour with Stephen, and this year we have 11 lab fellows who are participating in the fifth edition of the Northeast Filmmakers Lab. And we'll get one-on-one time with Stephen. Our mission is to support emerging filmmakers, surround them with world-class talent, and put all that in a lab process, which basically means we bring filmmakers together, we give them something to eat and drink, and give them a chance to talk and advance their projects to completion.
And that advancement, I mean, that goes in many different directions, right? I mean, as far as what they're ultimately looking to do, it's in many different disciplines.
Yeah, we have scripts, we've got works in progress, we've got documentaries. They're coming to us in various stages. Along the way, filmmakers, you know, work in isolation. The lab is an opportunity for them to meet with other professionals who can help them perhaps get unstuck, just give them enthusiasm, encouragement to continue, and shine a spotlight. So this year we're excited to have a project like Benedict Arnold, Hero Betrayed, come back to the lab and see if we can't help that advance to completion. It's a story in the Northeast that deserves to be completed, deserves to have an audience. It'd be great for the region. So, we're thankful to the partnership with the Archives Partnership Trust and the Linda, where we start tomorrow.
Yes, let's not forget that. So, all good stuff. Give us a sense, Stephen, of how you became, as you say, you're very interested in history and of how that interest then started to creep into your work and the projects that you selected and the things you did.
Well, my interest in history goes back to boyhood, but and certainly in the New York City public school system, I was taught some history. But to be perfectly honest, I think I got my love from history from books that I read outside of school. You probably, maybe some listeners remember the Landmark series of books. I was an avid reader of Landmark books and learned all about things from the Battle of Saratoga to Kit Carson to all kinds of things. I just love them. And I would also say that I'm a child of television and the movies. And I learned a lot of history, although, of course, it's not true history, just from watching television. You know, back in the day, back in the early 60s, there were so many shows about World War II that were on, so many films that were out, and that's where I found the past to be very, very interesting. Of course, I remember seeing They Died With Their Boots On, seeing Errol Flynn portray George Custer. That's what I thought Custer's Last Stand was about. I've since come to learn it's different. It's true in so many things. So many books, so many films meant something to me. The most important one, I think, was probably in the early 70s when I read Michael Schara's Killer Angels, which, of course, is a piece of historical fiction, and it's the story of the Battle of Gettysburg. And that it won the Pulitzer Prize. It's an immensely important book. And I was privileged to finally be in the film that was made of that. So that really solidified things for me.
I'm having the weirdest experience right now because I've been on the radio for a long time and people always come up to me and say, oh, you know, your voice, and I recognize your voice. And that's a weird thing. And you're in the car with me all the time. You are in the car with me all the time because you have done so many books on tape. And my wife and I have a commute. And I've heard your voice for like 20 years. You've done every great Stephen King book, Robert Ludlum book. You even did the Robert Caro book, didn't you?
I did Master of the Senate,
yeah.
The Lyndon Johnson book. I sure did, yeah. Yeah, that started years
Dean
ago.
Dean Koontz? Man, oh, yeah. You've done them all.
I do. The only ones I try to do now, whenever I can, is Sondra Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Sondra
we
Brown
like her.
Always likes my voice, and it's so odd to me that I end up, because her books are very different from who I am.
Right.
But I enjoy doing them. Sure, I think I love being in a studio with a microphone in front of me because, you know, nobody cares what you look like. You can wear your pajamas.
Yeah, but you do get to be an actor. I mean, all those voices.
You do a Ludlum book?
Yeah.
You're playing 143 parts. You know,
yeah.
using making up accents right and left.
So the problem is, and then I'll leave this subject, but the problem is that we listen to you so often, and then you hear somebody else do a book, and sometimes they're not as good as you, and then we always say, well, we wish Stephen Lang was reading this.
I'm sorry. I wish I could help you. I understand.
Some of them
know
really
it's a problem.
Suck. You know, I have to say, you are amazing.
Well,
but
it's
good stuff. So how will the evening unfold?
Well, the evening will start off with, again, some brief introductions, and of course, welcome to everybody. But really, the evening is about a conversation. It's a conversation between Harold Holzer and Stephen to explore some of the topics we're talking about today and what brings you to history and what have you learned. And Stephen, in this particular year, we're recognizing the centennial of the end of the First World War. Which was an amazing and incredibly transformative event in the history of the world. And I look forward to the conversation between Stephen and Harold about some of the things that you've learned along the way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the heart of this program. Of course, it culminates with our opportunity to honor this great individual who has given us so much, not just great recordings to listen to, but has opened our eyes and opened our ears and opened our minds to having a much better and richer understanding of the people who played an important role in history. So that's it.
Now, as far as the conversation with Harold Holzer, a friend of yours, and certainly you put the two of you together, I'd assume you get a pretty good conversation out of it.
Oh, I love talking with Harold. He's an expert on many of the things that I'm very interested in, including not only history, and you know I would regard Harold as the leading Lincoln scholar in the world, but also he's very knowledgeable about baseball, and he knows movies better than I do, I think, and I hate to admit that, but we're both charter members of the Franklin Pangborn Fan Club, you know, who is a character actor known to very few people except us. So I always have he's smart, he's erudite, he's witty, he's very, very funny. So I'm looking forward to the conversation. I think my relationship with Harold is kind of an ongoing conversation that's been happening for a decade. Tomorrow we'll just do it publicly for a while. And I think we'll probably talk about one of the reasons I like doing programs with Harold. He is a historian of the first order. I am not a historian, but what I am, I'm a storyteller. And what I am particularly interested in is the moment where history meets fiction, where it meets myth. One of the kind of watchwords that I have is thinking of the great John Ford film, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, when the reporter says to James Stewart, Jimmy Stewart says, well, you're not going to print it, the story I just told you? And the reporter says, no, Senator, you're in the West. And when the legend becomes fact, print the legend. And that's so much of what I find really interesting in history is the fact that we almost invariably always do print the legend. Tom might disagree with me there, but so much of what we take to be historical fact is mythic. I got particularly interested in the World War One. I was looking for something that was a really representative act, and I came up with the Lost Battalion, which is very, you know, pretty well known, I think. But even as this battalion of New Yorkers, Metropolitan 77th Division, were stuck in this pocket in the Meuse-Argonne Forest, even as this 5-day a catastrophe was going on, they were dubbed the Lost Battalion by a copy editor in New York. And so 600 men walked into this place. 5 days later, 110 men limped out, and they were mythic. Yeah. To me, that's really fascinating.
So it seems as though in keeping with that line of thought, it seems that the elephant in the room in any conversation like this, especially in a public conversation, is the inevitable discussion of how this applies to what's happening today.
Wow. Yes, I suppose it is. It would have been an interesting discussion irregardless of what's happening today, but I think today it takes on a sharpness and a relevance, poignancy even. I would differentiate myth from, if we're talking about fake news.
Right.
Yeah, I think.
Exactly. So, but obviously with the archives, I mean, your job is really to bring that history to life and to show us what is there and what we have and really to help keep those facts straight.
That's exactly what archives do. They maintain and preserve the historical record that's created at the time so that people who want to understand the truth have a place where they can find it.
Now, my understanding of the New York State Archives is one of the finest in the nation. Is that, and I'm going to ask you this, it sounds like a softball, but I mean, that is true, right?
That is absolutely true, Joe. It is one of the finest in the nation. It's one of the last state archives to be established in the nation, established in law in 1971. But New York is a very old state, so the state archives is fortunate to have the opportunity to preserve the records of the New Netherland colony, as well as the records of the construction of the Erie Canal, the records of the construction of the New York State Thruway, the records of Nelson Rockefeller's early environmental activism, and everything in between.
If I could add, the world's largest records of motion screenplays. I think there's 55 or 57,000 documents
yes.
Related from 1921 to 1965 during the censorship years. So filmmakers from Alfred Hitchcock to Orson Welles, everyone that made a movie at that time needed to go through the censorship process in New York. And New York is the only state that held the records. All the other states burned them. So,
and there you go. Well, it's a lovely event that'll be taking place tomorrow night. It's October 25th at 7 o'clock at Chancellor's Hall in the State Education Building right on Washington Avenue in Albany. Stephen Lang is the award-winning stage and film actor, writer, and producer. He will receive the 2018 Empire State Archives and History Award from the New York State Archives Partnership Trust tomorrow night. My thanks to you, Stephen. Congratulations.
Thank you
for being with us. Thanks also, of course, to Mike Moyne and Tom Roller. Thank you for your great work.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.